It's time to redefine and align to the badass leader and mother you really are. I'm your host, Nicole Weston. I have been coaching moms for the last decade on aligning to what they truly desire so they can be present with their family, create the most successful business, all while having it all. We're going to be talking to moms all around the world who are diving into what does it mean to take care of myself? What does it mean to redefine motherhood so I can live it on my terms, so I can have it all? It's time to rise, and here's the thing. We can't do it alone. Join us as we have some of the most important conversations about how moms are taking their pain and turning it into their purpose. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode on Redefine and Align. I'm your host, Nicole Weston, and I am so grateful that you are here. I am really excited to share this conversation with you today. I sat down with Fazina. She is the Conscious Communicator. She is a communication expert with more than 20 years of experience. She's a board-certified coach, speaker, consultant, intuitive, and facilitator of challenging conversations. If you don't know Fazina, then I highly encourage you to check out her links and get into her world. She is literally transforming the world. It is my absolute honor to share our conversation that we had today with all of you, really wanting to expand our lens and our perspective on motherhood. I want to tell you a little bit more about Fazina before I talk about our interview today. So she empowers women to reclaim their voice from past and intergenerational trauma and disempowering societal, cultural, and family dynamics to be powerful communicators in relationships and work. She holds a unique position of combining her many years of professional experience in communication with her ability to see the unconscious patterns that influence a person's ability to communicate so they may have and achieve powerful breakthroughs. She has built a diverse and inclusive practice serving clients of all intersectionalities and backgrounds, and she takes pride in helping organizations build sustainable foundations to do so. You can find Fazina at theconsciouscommunicator.ca at Facebook, as well as Instagram. Just wanting to share with you why I love having conversations with women and really hearing the story behind motherhood. Really wanting to kind of dive into the fact that not everyone I interview is a mother yet. Not everyone I interview is ever going to be a mother. And I find there's so much power in sharing those stories, not from a way of exposing or not honoring a very safe and sacred space, but to kind of open up conversations because there's not one way to do everything. And I think we can get really trapped into, I have to, you know, live my life by a certain path, this prescribed path, and what happens when I'm not on that path. And I love sharing stories from women all over who are doing it differently and doing it on their terms. And if you've been here a while, or this is your first episode, this is what I'm here to break down. Really sharing stories of each and every one of us of how we are living life on our terms, while how we are redefining what motherhood means and what it means to live in alignment with who we are and who we are becoming. So today, Fazina and I dive into her journey in breaking down the beliefs that have potentially been passed down through families, society, expectations, and how she moves through that. We also dive into why maternal mental health is so important and why we need to be having more conversations that include everyone from diverse backgrounds and cultural beliefs. This is so important. So important. And I'm so grateful to have had this conversation with Fazina on today's episode. One thing is for sure, you will hear us say over and over again the power of seeing how everything is connected. And I want to preframe that on saying this is not to dive into toxic positivity. This is not to under
underestimate the power of life and how traumatic events can be incredibly debilitating. This is to kind of go hindsight and go, okay, when I am grounded, when I am safe, when I am secure, I can look back and reflect and go, I see how all the dots are connecting now. That doesn't dismantle how difficult my life has been. It doesn't take away from the suffering I experienced. It does not mean that I created it. It means that there are things we are here to resolve. There are things we are here to evolve the planet, our families, ourselves. And to do that, it's this polarity of the darkness and the light. And so something that I'm really passionate about is creating a space and framework for us to be able to hold both, for us to dive into the darkness and know that we are safe and secure, and to be able to hold the light. Because how often are we undermining the incredible things we have done in our lives? And how do we hold both? And how do we hold both with our power? How do we hold both with honor? And so a lot of my work has been creating that framework to stand beside you as you unravel the parts of you that you no longer need. And this is the passion of my life. The more I get to know myself in this grief is really recognizing what has been helping me the most. And so I really want to bring that forward to say that yes, everything is connected, and when we are in our shit, it's okay to not say, oh, great, everything's happening for a reason and woohoo. It's like, no, fuck it. It is hard, and it's okay that it's hard. And who can you access for support? Because I think one of the most bravest things we can do is ask for help. Picking up the phone, asking for help is one of the bravest things, most courageous things you will ever do. And it will be the hardest step. And once it happens, you will feel like the weight has been lifted off of your shoulders. In today's episode, I want you to take a moment to pause and think about where you are now. What had to happen for you to feel safe and secure? What has happened for you to feel confident in who you are and who you are becoming? And how are you celebrating you? And with all of that, I want to tell you about, so it's December 3rd that you will be hearing this episode. And I am really excited because the Mom Collective live Q&A is going to be hosted next week. And if you haven't joined, that's all good. You can access all of the live trainings in the portal, and that's for $88 a month, of course, plus tax. And so for $88 a month, you have access to the entire portal. I've got about 3 live trainings so far in there, as well as live Q&As. I only keep the Q&As up for 30 days just to really keep it a safe and secure space. We are in a live group Voxer chat, which is so powerful. You know, send out reminders in there, check-ins. The women and the moms and the collective are sharing their stories and making connections and connecting with women who are all on the same, mindset of like, life is hard, life is great. How do I evolve? How do I make it better in my life? You can check out the link in the bio and read more about the Mom Collective. Such an honor to have the women in there, and really just creating a space, as you'll hear in today's interview, conversation of why it's so important for us to have safe and secure spaces to be heard and to be seen. I don't think we know how powerful that is. The women who I have worked with this year, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think it was yesterday I received almost 7 messages saying, thank you so much for the work we have done this year. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for you. I'm so grateful for you. And I have to say, I am so honored and grateful to hear that. And also, that's the power of holding space and having the framework to navigate life. So Becoming is a 6-month group mastermind. We're only enrolling 10 women. We will be starting in January. So doors are open. Applications are open to apply for this program. And I say apply because I want to make sure that I'm a good fit for you and you're a good fit for the program. I'm going to be sharing a little bit more details on upcoming podcasts, so stay tuned for that. If you have questions, you can always book a 15-minute chat with me That being said, I am slowing down before the holidays to really create some space for grief and just to be totally open, honest, transparent, giving myself space and capacity to ensure that I am putting myself first and my family and wrapping up this year. This will be a year like no other. And I'm just really grateful for the love and the support that I have received. I don't know why this just popped in, but if you have lost a loved one this year, I can't recommend hospice counseling enough. I do think it's one of those cornerstone resources that I have accessed and has made the entire difference in my world. I think that grief, I know that grief is a universal experience and one that we have zero tools and framework for. And so in that being said, if you are struggling in grief, which is also loss of any kind, please reach out. Please ask for help. And if you don't know where to ask for help, you can reach out to me and I can help you. That all being said, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you love today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. We are going to have a new episode every Friday. And if you haven't yet followed me on Instagram, you can at the Nicole Weston. And if you want to subscribe to my mailing list to ensure that you're getting all the up-to-date information and also like tips for navigating the intensity of the holiday season, I am pushing out lots of greatness in the email world as well. So with all of that, thank you, thank you, thank you, and so much love to you.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for being here, Fazina. I am so excited for you to be here.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I am so excited to be here.
This has been in the works for a while, I'll say.
Yes, it has.
And I always love divine timing. I find that intentions are so powerful. And then sometimes it's like the timing also actually has our best intentions. So hi. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, as I always do, our first question in the show. So if you could share with us your thoughts on what redefining motherhood means for you.
Yes. So redefining motherhood for me is something I've thought about a lot over the last, I'd say, 5 years or so. I'm in my late 30s and I've always had the dream to have my own children. It hasn't happened yet. And so, you know, looking at, or, you know, being programmed by society around when you should have kids and how old you should be and when is it too late and all of those different pieces, I've really had to come to terms with that and recognize that, first of all, that isn't my story, right? Yes, it's not my story.
That's right.
My dream is still my dream. And I know that it will happen in its right time. And also that there's so many ways to mother.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's not just about having our own children, but it is also about what we do for the people around us and our clients or our family members, you know, those various people that we are connected to and how we have those nurturing and mothering tendencies.
They're so deep, aren't they? That nurturing aspect of ourselves. I know before becoming a mother, my business, my mission, all of those pieces were, it felt like it came from me. Like it was like, yes, there are trainings and studies I did and stuff like that, but it was just like it came from inside of me. And so just like this, like a calling, and that's what I refer to it now, not so much a mission, but a calling, because I find that it definitely works itself through in so many different areas of my life, but it always comes back to, if I may say, like just doing it differently. Like that's what it comes down to for me. And I think that that is in so many ways what motherhood really can be about, right? It's just doing it differently and doing it on our terms. So I can really resonate with that for sure.
Yes.
So when you say societal programs and all of those pieces, you know, how have you found, I'm just kind of checking out my notes here. How have you found that, what has helped you the most to kind of get through those programs, you know, because I feel like so many of us are weighed down by the expectations of how things should go. So how have you found yourself to kind of be able to move through that? So if there are women out there who are listening, yeah, what has helped you the most?
for me, a lot of it was examining what I learned culturally. Mm. My family is Indo-Guyanese. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I come from a line of women who had children in like their early 20s or even before.
Right, right.
A lot of it came from comments that I would get from people in my family around like, you know, when are you getting married and when are you going to have children and you shouldn't wait for too long for that to happen. Mm. And so I think it was in the discomfort, like receiving those comments and being in the discomfort of that, that I started to examine what my own belief system was around having children and being a mother. And then asking myself, like, is that my own stuff? Right. Or is that other people's stuff that I'm carrying? Then learning to discern the difference between the two, mm-hmm. and then choosing to let go what wasn't mine, and then learning to accept where I was in my life and what it was I wanted to do as a mother, and how I viewed motherhood and how I wanted to bring children into the world, mm-hmm. and what I wanted to do for them, right? So it really came in examining those generational pieces.
Yeah. I like wrote down all the steps. I'm like, discern, yeah. let go, and yeah. accept.
Yes. All of it.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it.
Just so powerful in being able to kind of look back, because I'm just going to make this up. I'm sure it didn't happen so peacefully or as easily or effortlessly, because I think that I can speak for myself. Sometimes when you are examining those pieces, it can really rock your world. It's like, wait a minute. So then what is true? And finding safety in that truth of like, what is true for me, and wanting that sense of belonging, sense of acceptance from the people that we love, and also saying, and I want what feels good for me. And I accept that you have done what's good for you, but I'm going to go my own way, right? Like there's a lot of elements in that. And I think that we can definitely find challenges along that, you know, seeking that acceptance and that need. Those are like fundamental human needs, right? Being that sense of belonging and connection. And so to question our generational beliefs, our generational culture, there's a lot that comes with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you speak of what you just said, but then there was also the pieces of like, why am I not measuring up? Am I not good enough? Hmm. How come I'm not a mother yet? Right. You know, does that mean that I'm less than everybody else? Oh, right. Right. And so, you know, of course, in that there's a lot of self-examination to recognize where I had made myself inferior because I hadn't achieved these milestone pieces that I was told and had modeled for me throughout my life. Yeah. And then coming to terms with, not necessarily coming to terms with, but being okay with, actually, yeah, I am completely good enough. I am awesome.
Yeah.
And I've just chosen to do it a different way. And I think one of the things when, you know, those of us that choose to do things a different way, one of the things that we face is that, you know, going at it alone, because maybe somebody else hasn't done that before. Or we've mm-hmm. had very few people who've done it before, and mm-hmm. they may have been spoken about in a not nice way because they have chosen to do it before. And we don't realize that all these different things are playing out for us until we really sit down and look at the various pieces and how they've impacted us. But they do impact us.
Hmm. I'm just like, yep, I can listen to you all day. Because even in the way that you're speaking, you said the very key word was all of the things that are happening for us, right? And I found that really interesting because when we peel back the layers and we look at all of these pieces, it is a very lonely time. And loneliness is a very heavy emotional experience. And I think it makes me so emotional. There is nothing more valuable, more powerful than someone looking across, well, we'll just say across the screen because of what we're at right now in our world. But someone looking at you across the screen and just being able to say, like, I see you and I get it.
Yes.
And like, I hear you. And like, I may not know every single aspect, but like I see you and being able to hold the space. And so in prepping for our conversation today, so much of what you are bringing forward in the world is holding that space for women to be seen and to be heard as they are on their journey, right?
Yes.
Unpacking what no longer serves them and moving forward into, you know, alignment with themselves. And so getting all, yeah. So just wanting to like,
I love it.
Just share. Like, I think that it's almost like one of those things where it's like, it's not that it's easy, but it's two words. It's like three words, to be seen, to be heard. Yes. So it's six words, but the power behind them is everything.
Yes. And the other words that you said, creating safety, is so important. Yeah. So very, very important. Creating that safety allows people to put themselves in a position where they can be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because so many of us have come from experiences where sometimes it wasn't safe to be seen or heard. Right. And how does that translate into adulthood? Mm. We allow ourselves to be out there. And if it doesn't feel safe, then, you know, we're much more likely to pull back and want to hide. So creating that safety to be able to look at these various pieces that have impacted us, whether consciously or unconsciously, gives us that opportunity to use our voice in different ways, in ways that we may have dreamed of doing for so long, but we just never had the opportunity in that space that felt safe enough for us to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Just moving through the emotions.
Of course, and creating space to move through the emotions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, so like, we could fill the silences right now if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could.
But we could actually create spaces of safety to hold the emotions that are coming through right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the power of your work, of your presence is, you know, trusting that the body feels safe enough to even express an emotion, whether, and without labeling the emotion as, I've really moved away from negative and positive emotions, really utilizing heavy or lighter emotions, not for, you know, for any reason, but we know language has a huge impact on our experiences. And so the emotions that I was feeling were very light and also just like, honor, I guess I'll say, you know, like, I think we underestimate the skills it takes to hold a safe space. I think we really underestimate that. However, the body knows, right? The body knows when it feels safe to do so. And so in our work, I'll say for myself, it's one of those things where it's like, it's so intangible, but people feel it. And so it's like, you have conversations with people like, I don't know what it is with you. Like, I just feel like I could share like so much, yes. Right? And I'm like, I don't know what you mean, but it is these, you know, there's practices and skills and strategies and training, of course, that have happened to be able to do that. But I think that's what we're all seeking is how do we create a safe space to, if I say like unravel the parts of us that just aren't working, there is a lot that is no longer working and cannot continue to happen. And so being able to create a safe space in any area of our life is, I think, absolutely significant. And it's what relationships need to thrive, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause you said hiding, like how many of us are hiding some really big things that are important to us, but the fear of what other people will think or say of us, that doesn't feel safe. So then we go into hiding and Brené Brown will call that shame. And shame has such an interesting way of just like locking everything down. And well, some people would express that as anger, frustration, overt power, and others would kind of just resort backwards, right? Like go inwards and really not take up a lot of space. So I think what we just modeled was just being able to feel safe in the silence. So I really appreciate that. I was like, whoa.
Yes.
The silence and that pause is way more powerful than anything.
I can tell you that I used to be so uncomfortable around silences. And even when I started being a coach, mm-hmm. like, you know, and so it was like, it was even going through my own self-talk of like, oh my God, you're making the client uncomfortable. Oh my gosh, you've made them cry. And it's like, no, actually, this is what they need in the moment. Mm-hmm. So how can I manage whatever's going on for me? Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. I can create that space for them to have that opportunity to do what they need to do in this moment.
Mm. Yeah. And there is so much love in that. Like, that's one of the most powerful tools I believe in the work is the pause for sure.
Yeah.
An opportunity to reflect. So I'm just going to go back to some of the questions. You know, you had mentioned here. So, you know, a lot of the work that I'm doing is maternal mental health and really unpacking motherhood and being an entrepreneur, being a woman. It's a lot of areas. You had mentioned that, you know, how can what you share today support mothers and their mental health? And a lot of that was to, you know, that you said society has a rigid definition of what a mother is, and it doesn't encompass the experiences of mothers from all backgrounds and diverse experiences. Sharing what we will be discussing is about feeling heard and having space for all moms and a huge part of caring for maternal mental health. I would love you to expand more on that. And yeah, just, I would love to kind of not even debrief, but unpack more of that and bring that forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we really are in a society where there's so many specific definitions of what all these different roles are in the world, whether it's a mother or a father or, you know, a daughter or a son or whatever it is that society has defined for us. And it really does not leave room for people, because people are just so diverse and come from all kinds of backgrounds and experiences. And, you know, I know as a woman of color, I don't see women of color motherhood reflected back to me when I look at TV. And I think it's changing now.
Yeah.
Right. But it had, like, growing up, that was not what I saw on TV.
No.
You know, if I wanted to see a woman of color that was on TV as a model, I'd have to watch The Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. Right. To see a Black woman in Claire Huxtable be a mother, mm-hmm. for example, or the show like Family Matters. And so I didn't see a lot of that. So I, you know, for me, it's about looking at all the ways that we have left people out mm-hmm. and starting to have greater conversations about the experiences of mothers of all backgrounds. And I grew up in an environment where my mother was, my parents had very traditional roles. So my father worked in a factory environment. My mother was a homemaker, mm-hmm. right? And I also saw her sacrifice herself so many times over and over. So, you know, her health was not necessarily the first thing she thought about, but it was fulfilling the role that she took on. But also through a cultural lens as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So I'll throw this out there is that my family, as I said, is Indo-Guyanese. And my ancestors were indentured servants. Mm-hmm. They came over to Guyana from India in the 1800s at some point. I actually don't even know because we don't have records to show when specifically. But the women were given very specific roles, and their roles, both men and women were given roles in servitude, which meant they were always having to take care of sugarcane crops. And they took over a lot of the work that people who were enslaved had been doing after slavery was abolished. You know, when I think of the experiences of the women that I've come from, mm-hmm. right? They have poured so much into raising their families to the point that they may be sick and they're still worrying about what to put in a pot for dinner.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're still thinking about how to make the bed. And mm-hmm. they're still thinking about, you know, how to make dinner for or make lunches for children. And they could be incredibly sick, but all of these things are front and in their mind and not their own health. Mm. You know, that's just my background, mm-hmm. right? But how many other people are experiencing this in their mothering, right? Where the influences of past generations are showing up. Mm-hmm. And how is that reflected back to us in terms of how do you learn to take care of yourself better? Mm-hmm. How do you care about your mental health better? Do you know you can look after your mental health and your emotional health and your physical health? Do you know that you can do that, right? And so sometimes I think when we talk about mental health or emotional health or personal development, right? Like we talk about it in terms of people who already know that they can take care of themselves that way.
Right.
But there's a whole group of people who don't even think they have that opportunity.
Yeah.
How do we address that? You know, and that's a huge question.
That's a huge question.
But these are the types of questions that lead to discussions, that lead to understanding that we haven't had before, didn't even realize we needed to have before.
Right. That really resonates in the sense of just not knowing. For me, my experience has been, I didn't know I had a choice. I didn't know that my way of thinking, my way of being, the way that I operated in the world was a very big imprint of my mother and an imprint of her mother. I didn't know that I was separate from that. And so what does create that shift, I'll say, or what can invite in that awareness and a shift in perspective? And how can we create that in a way where it feels safe, right? And coming back to safety, because that is, I think, where everything starts, is if we've got and safety, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, not just like, I think a lot of people think when I say safe, it's like physical environment. And that is absolutely important, but I mean like mentally and emotionally, because I think we underestimate that, or don't even know that we have that choice. Being able to even have these types of conversations about self-development is an honor and is a privilege, because we have so many pieces because of the generations before us that have done so much so that we can be in this moment right now, having a conversation on a podcast to even contemplate these things. Like for me, in my experience, that's, I guess, where that shift or change can start to happen, because we get to have big questions, conversations. And for those who are listening, if they have never thought of that, boom, we've just sparked a different connection.
Yes. Does that absolutely
make sense? Yeah.
That absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I think that it is that creation of safety that allows us to have those conversations where, you know, we can talk about people of different backgrounds and impacts and how we can create a new path forward where more people's experiences are being listened to and heard. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier about being seen and being heard, right? And when we break out of, you know, this traditional role that, you know, Western society has created around motherhood, right? Then we're able to see this expansion of, and what we've been missing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like have so many different, like my brain's going to all of these different places to go back to. So I want to go and say, thank you so much for sharing your story or pieces of your story and really honoring your story in that piece, because that's witnessing self-sacrifice, as you mentioned. And there's so much strength in the women who came before us, so much, you know, I always have so much respect and honor for those women, because it's like, if you weren't who you were, I wouldn't be able to be here where I am. And then holding that duality of like, and I'm going to create different conversations and do things differently, because as much as you are the strongest, you know, and you've done and you've crushed it, it's time for that to change, because we are human and equal. Like we need equality between self-care, self, you know, mental and emotional health. And that needs to be, I believe, at the forefront. Like, we are at a place now in our world where it's like mental and emotional health, this conversation has to be expanded so that people aren't thinking that they're alone in those struggles and those experiences. Because as I think we talked about just before we hit record, expression is so healing.
It is. And knowing that you can express and that you're allowed to express.
Yes.
Right? You have permission to express, and you do not need that permission from anybody else but yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Right? It's self-permission. Absolutely.
Okay. This might be a big question. How does one even begin to create self-permission? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh my goodness, that is a big question.
It's a big question.
It's a big question.
Maybe it's a part two. Maybe we
self-permission. Okay. So I will speak from my own experience, because that is the best way that I can say this, right? Mm-hmm. Because everybody's going to have a different route, right? Let's recognize that. I think, so before I get into that, I think one of the dangers that we've engaged in our society is to make it seem like there's one way to do things.
Mm, yeah.
So however a person reaches that point of self-permission is their own personal journey. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get to honor all of the various backgrounds and diversity of people. So I will speak from my own experience. And self-permission for me has been one of reclaiming, recognizing and reclaiming my own worth and self-love. Right. And I think worth is definitely the number one piece, because for me, for the longest time, I walked around believing I wasn't worthy. Right.
Right.
And if I didn't believe I was worthy, why would I deserve to have a voice and express myself? Being able to recognize that I had this lack of belief in my worth, and then being able to heal that part of me created the opportunity for, made the space, right? Made the space, because when I cleared out the things that were blocking me from recognizing my worth, it's never left me, right? It's not that my worth ever left me. It's just, I needed to reconnect to it. So once I cleared out the stuff that was blocking me from connecting to my worth, that gave me the opportunity to give myself permission to do different things, whether it was to speak out, whether it was to share a story, whether it was to write something, whether it was to start a business, you know, whether it was to collaborate with someone, whatever it might be, right? Whether it was to have love, you know, it's like, I mean, self-worth is such a big piece that unpacks so many things. But for me, that was the piece that helped me to give myself permission. And it's still a work in progress, right? So,
I believe
you
that.
Know, yeah, there's so many layers to it that we have to, you know, we have to work through when they appear, because they will appear. Then we have to deal with them, right? I mean, we can choose whether we want to deal with them or not, right? So there's powerful. Always choice.
Always.
It's still a work in progress, but that connecting to my worth was definitely what led to self-permission.
Thank you for that. I mean, there's so much power in all of what you shared. And I think that the journey of becoming is that choice. It's like, oh, I have a choice. And like that desire for things to be different, like it means something. Like I can listen to that voice inside. And also that, you know, you made the brilliant point that our worth has never left us. We have our worth always. It's that block. So I love how you said, you know, coming back, like reconnecting and reclaiming that worth. And I think that's such a reminder for women, for people, for humans. It's like, you were born worthy.
Yes.
That's it.
Period. Period. You were born worthy. Period. Right? It's the societal stuff. It's our childhood experiences. It's the things we've inherited generationally.
Yes.
Those things, the programming we've received in various different systems in our society and culture and family, those things play a part in disconnecting us, but it never left.
Never left.
It is always inside. And I also believe that things happen in our life to show us our way back to it. Mm-hmm. When we birth the awareness mm-hmm. that life is talking to us, mm-hmm. and then we can start to see patterns and experiences and start putting the dots or connecting the dots, then, you know, that opens up a whole other world mm-hmm. and brings us back to the things that we just aren't connected to, but are there for us.
And there we are. It's like, yep. It's like, did you see me? I'm like, just keep talking. Yes. Cause it's just, it is, it's like so you said, brings you back to this whole other world. And so the words that come up for me are possibilities and choice. And it's like, remember mm-hmm. who you are and really honoring that it's okay if you forgot, because that's not your fault. It's okay to forget, because like you just said, there are things that are happening in our lives to bring us back. And it's almost like our worth is working for us. It's like, okay, let's try this now. Like, is this going to be the thing yes. that's going to take her back to herself? Is this going to be the opportunity? And it doesn't look like a shiny pearl, you know, it is masked most of the time. And that brings me to my next question. With everything that you are sharing and that you have like really taken back and reclaimed that permission of growth and evolution, you know, what are some of those pieces that were significant on this journey for you, for the women who are listening and they're like, oh my goodness, like this all sounds amazing. How or what or who were the, you know, pillars of this work?
That's another big question, Nicole. So for me, the biggest, the most influential experience that I had in my life was a very unfortunate one. When mm-hmm. I was 7 years old, I witnessed a tragic accident between a drunk driver and a cousin. You know, being there for that moment as a child really impacted me in ways that I didn't realize it impacted me. Right. You know, coming from the culture that I didn't, also the time, like this was in the early 90s, mm-hmm. you know, we weren't talking about children's mental health and all of those pieces. So I didn't get the support that I needed at the time. It really left a mark in my life. And you know, we've had these conversations. Nicole and I have known each other for a while. You know, we have the imprint years of 0 to 7, where, you know, the experiences that happened during that time really leave a mark and leave beliefs about, you know, self and others in the world. I grew up believing that the world was unsafe.
Right.
You know, there's a bigger story of this, which I'm not going to get into, but I had attributed fault of this situation to myself. And I had blamed myself, which had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
But as a child,
right.
you know, my mind created what it needed to create in that moment.
Right.
And then I sentenced myself to this experience of never allowing myself to be happy because of what had happened.
Right.
And it wasn't until decades later when, you know, as I said earlier, life is always talking to us and we don't realize what's happening. But when I was in my marriage, which was in crisis, and these emotions from that event were coming to the surface, that was a moment that opened up everything for me, because then I started to realize that there was some healing I needed to do. Mm. And the more healing that I did, the more it expanded my world to recognize how I was disconnected from various parts of myself. So that definitely was the single, the biggest influence in terms of how I was led to this path of looking at self and looking at the things that were blocking me from self-worth and power and self-love. And then recognizing that I had a choice as an adult,
right
to change the way that I had allowed certain events, not just that event,
right.
but other events in my life that had left a mark, how I would allow them to define me. And instead of allowing them to define me, I was defining them. Right. And how they would impact me, or how they would propel me forward in my own calling. You know, it gave me the opportunity to see myself and to hear myself.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because sometimes it's not even that we need, you know, to be seen and heard by other people, but we need to be seen and heard from ourselves, like by ourselves.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It all starts with self. And that's where I go first.
Always. Thank you for sharing that as well. Cause that's so powerful. And so, you know, vulnerability in my eyes is always a strength. So, and that also is like that gate into connection with others. So I really appreciate you feeling safe to express that. And if there are women listening, I hope that I'll just say, I know, but you know, I don't know everything, but I'm hoping and can assume that has really helped connect a lot of dots for other women listening. So I really, really appreciate you sharing that in the way that you did. Thank you.
Of course.
So with that, I have a question for you, and you can go back to any time. Knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self, you know, either pre-work or pre-reclaiming your self-worth or after, you know, whichever one is calling you the most, what would you want her to know?
What would I want her to know now? Mm-hmm. I would want her to know that it's all connected, and that she will always have someone that will be there for her. And that is me, that everything that she has ever experienced is valid, and she is loved, and she will always have a place to be listened to and heard. And that is me.
And that is you. I was going to say, because she is you.
Yes.
You feel that?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm trying not to cry myself.
This is very powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So beautiful. I take notes because I'm like, ooh, this is the title. Oh no, this is the title. Ah. Ooh, nope, this is the title. So I think I got it now.
Oh my God, I want to know the title.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
It's going to be, you know, it's always connected, or she is you.
I love it.
Yeah. So we'll see what one.
We will find out.
Yeah. We'll see what one is like comes forward. So I just want to thank you so much. I would love to have you back and expand even more on these conversations for sure. So thank you. And if our audience wants to get connected with you, where can they find you? What do you have going on in your world?
Yes. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. And I would absolutely love to be on again and continue this really awesome conversation and see where it heads next. Right.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to reach me, I am online at your regular places. So Instagram at The Conscious Communicator, on Facebook at comms coach. That's COMMS coach.
Cool.
And yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm also at theconsciouscommunicator.ca. And I'm working on a couple of things. I am running several times through the year something called Reconnect, which is ironic because that's what we talked a lot about.
Yes.
But it really is about remembering those parts of yourself that you've, like people have forgotten. You know, that information will be online on my online spaces. And I also run a program called Do No Harm. So, and that is about safe and inclusive leadership and creating spaces for inclusion. And again, you can find out about that online as well.
Absolutely. And I completed the program. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was
amazing.
It was incredible. And I'm going to re-listen and re-listen and re-listen. So thank you. I find that it integrates on so many levels every time I listen. Who would you, because I think the program is phenomenal, who's the ideal person for that program?
Yeah. So the ideal person for that program is, I would say, coaches, wellness practitioners, you know, anybody who is providing care.
Okay.
to a variety and diverse background clientele mm-hmm. or who wants to expand in that area is so important mm-hmm. that we're not doing harm. You know, it's open to anyone. The themes around it is looking at supremacy programming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do have a lot of white coaches that join, but supremacy is also something that people who are BIPOC also internalize in different ways. So right. It's open to anybody who wants to who is providing service to others and wants to make sure that they're doing it in a safe and inclusive way.
Yeah. Feels like everybody, every yes. single person who is working with another person will benefit tremendously from this course. So I highly, highly recommend it. We'll put all of your links in the show notes and we'll continue to have these conversations. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing. I really look forward to having you back because we could probably record all day.
We probably could. So I think about. We could, definitely.
We always say this too. It's like, oh, we actually have to go, but we have so much more to talk about.
Yes.
So thank you so much for being here. So much love to you. And I can't wait to have you back.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole. I loved this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I want to hear from you. What did you love about today's podcast? What are you feeling inspired to do differently? Find us on Facebook at Redefining Motherhood and tell us all about it. You can also follow along on Instagram at the Nicole Weston. Here's the thing, we were never meant to do this alone, and it is time to redefine motherhood and live it on our terms. I believe we can have it all, and I believe in order to do that, we've got to do it differently. Follow along and let us know. Be sure to subscribe. We drop a new episode every Wednesday.